Thank you, Dave. Good evening.
Good evening.
I love to pray with you folks. I love the prayer meeting, and I love to be here on Wednesday night. And thank you so much for being here, silent and audible. What a blessing. Warms my heart, and I just am thrilled to see you want to be here and to see us being able to lift these things up to the Lord. I don't know if you've ever seen this book. I just came across it. I think I may have heard about it one time. But it's very interesting. I've not read the book, just read the beginning of it, but I think I might try to read it. It's called The Know-It-All, One Man's Humble Quest to Become the World's Smartest Person. And the way that he was going to do that, and I haven't read the book, so I just read the beginning, but what he was going to do was read the entire Encyclopedia Britannica. I think it's 32 volumes. He told how many pages. His father had tried. He got through about Borneo, I think, and the bees. but I thought it was kind of he wanted to, you know, I like the title, The Know-It-All. When we think about a know-it-all, you know, we think about someone who talks or behaves like they know everything. And probably that you don't know anything, or at least you don't know as much as they do, about a particular topic or maybe about anything. And, you know, in general, we get kind of irritated when we think someone is a know-it-all. You know, there is a know-it-all. It's not the fellow who wrote this book. I don't know how far he got, but even if you read all of them, he's not a know-it-all. Even if he knows everything in the Encyclopedia Britannica, he's not really a know-it-all. But there is one who does know-it-all. And that's our great, omniscient God. He knows everything. You know, I think it's kind of interesting that God's omniscience irritates some people. Irritates them very much. They don't want to think about it. They don't want to acknowledge it. They don't want to live with it. I saw an article today about a billboard in Times Square. Have you seen about the billboard in Times Square? An atheist group put it up there, Americans for Atheism or something, and it said, who needs Christ with Christ X'd out? Who needs Christ in Christmas? Nobody. They're fleeing the reality of the one who knows everything. And it irritates them that anybody would think that there is a being who knows everything. But we know him. And thankfully, we're among those who are not irritated by the fact that our great God knows everything, but actually we're blessed by that, amen? We're blessed by the fact that he knows everything. We've been thinking a little bit about the omniscience of God as we're studying our great God, and we've already seen that God is omniscient. He knows everything there is to know about everything and everyone, all causes, effects, connections, thoughts, feelings, desires, dreams, secrets, mysteries, seen and unseen, heard and unheard, imagined and unimagined. He knows everything about all of the past. He knows everything about this present moment, and he knows everything about what has not yet occurred, but will occur. And not only does he know what has been and is and will be, but he knows what could have been and what could be and what might be in the future. He knows it all. We can look at Scripture as we did last time, and I won't belabor and go back over those verses, but one verse we didn't mention but comes out of the New Testament, and you don't need to turn there, but 1 John 3:20 tells us that if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. He knows all things. Does that irritate you or bless you? Sometimes it might scare us a little bit that he knows all things. But we're also blessed by that he knows everything. Tonight I want us to look for just the few moments that we have at some difficulties that can arise from this statement that God knows everything. And the difficulties I want to think about are actually difficulties that come from the Scriptures that we hold true as the very Word of God. that he has breathed forth. Now, these are questions that may arise in our own minds as we read the scriptures, or they may be questions that are presented to us by seekers or by skeptics or even by true believers who are looking at it from a different perspective. The first song we sang tonight had the phrase in it that the Lord Jesus, for conflict, fits and arms us. So that's really the goal tonight, that we'll be armed if should some of these questions come before our minds. And the background truth that we start with is what we looked at last time, and that's that the Bible plainly declares that God knows everything. And I've got some other verses here if you missed last time and want to look at those. God knows everything. And so we start out at that point, and then we go to the Word of God. And if we come to something that seems at first glance to contradict that plain truth, then what we do is we need to step back and consider what is it that God is trying to accomplish through such wording in His Scriptures. Last time we did look briefly at the question, if God knows everything, why does the Bible instruct us to pray? We're not going to rehash that, but we're going to go on to the next one. And here it is. If God knows everything, then why does the Bible sometimes seem to suggest that A, God learns, B, God is surprised, and C, that God changes His mind? So let's start out with A. Go back with me, if you would, to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18. And we want to just look for a few moments at a couple of places here in the book of Genesis and where it seems that God is learning something, finding out something that He didn't already know. Genesis 18, this is where we find the Lord Jesus, we believe it was, a pre-incarnate appearance, along with two angels coming to see Abraham and predicting the delivery to his aged wife of a baby. And after that, you may remember, they were the Lord Jesus and the angels were making their way towards Sodom. And I just want you to go down with me to verse 20. Verse 20, and the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom is Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me, and if not, I will know. So at first glance, we might look here and read that and say, well, it looks like God needs to come down to earth and actually go physically to Sodom and Gomorrah to find out if what He's been hearing about Sodom and Gomorrah and the sin there, is that really true? It seems that God is wanting to go there to find out whether or not that is true. Okay, just go over four chapters to the 22nd chapter, a very familiar story. I won't need to give you any background here. As Abraham is being called upon to offer his son Isaac. And you know the story, and as his arm went up with the knife, the angel of the Lord called to him in verse 11. And we read in verse 12, and he, this is the Lord, the angel of the Lord, again, the Lord Jesus, and he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. So again, at first reading, we might stop. And a lot of these things, I know you might think, I've never thought about that. You know, we read over it, and maybe that's a good thing in some ways. I'm not trying to bring questions into your mind that are already there, but to be armed and fitted for the conflict in case they come there. Here it seems like that the Lord had to have Abraham do this test, and he had to watch him and think, I wonder what's going to happen. And he didn't do it. So now, finally, I know that Abraham fears me. It seems from these passages that God is learning something. Well, again, we go back to our background truth. We know that the Bible clearly teaches, as we read in 1 John 3:20, God knows all things. So he already knows what's going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. He already knows that Abraham fears him. So why does he say this in the Scripture? Well, I think that one thing it shows us is that God often chooses to use human terms to help us understand and relate to what he is doing. You may know the term anthropomorphic, which is taking human attributes and applying them to something that's not human, such as God. We think sometimes about the Psalms that tell us that God is going to take us under his wings. And I don't think any of us here think that God really has wings in that sense, right? We know it's figurative language. And we know that God sometimes uses terms that we can understand and relate to and get our arms around to help us understand what it is that he wants us to know. He expresses it that way for our benefit. You think about the teacher in the kindergarten or first grade class, and he or she says, "Boys and girls, let's see if we can figure out what 2 plus 2 is." Now, does the teacher not know what 2 plus 2 is? No, the teacher knows what 2 plus 2 is, but he or she is using this language to help the child learn the lesson that the teacher already knows. We look back at Genesis 18 and we think about what is God trying to get across there as he says, "I'm going to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah and I'm going to find out, then I'm going to know." What's he trying to express? Well, he's trying to express to the reader, to us, as well as to Abraham, he's trying to express the reality that he is a fair and just judge. And we can trust him. Now, he doesn't need to come down to earth. He doesn't need to go to Sodom and Gomorrah. He doesn't need to come to Greensboro. He doesn't need to go to your house to find out what's going on. He already knows. But he wants to express to us that he does not randomly make decisions, but he makes decisions knowing all of the facts. I think here in Genesis 22, as God communicates to Abraham, that Abraham might know the reality that God already knows, that Abraham truly fears God, that Abraham truly has a reverence for God. I also think that we can take both of these and we can apply what we learn from Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. In Hebrews 5 and verse 8, we read about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God the Son. And there we read that though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Did the Lord Jesus not already know obedience? Did he have to learn obedience? Well, I think here we see what we often talk about even humanly among ourselves as believers, the difference between the position and the practice, between the standing and the state. God knows everything. The Lord Jesus knows everything. He is God. And yet he came to the earth, and among many other things that he accomplished upon this earth, one was that he experienced obedience. He experienced obedience. So in that sense, he learned it. He didn't get more information. He didn't find out something he didn't know. But he experienced a reality that he already knew. And here we find in Genesis 22, in much the same way, God already knows that Abraham fears him. But God, in a sense, experiences Abraham's reverence. Not that he didn't already know that information. The information was already his. Always has been, always will be. But he experienced that, if you want to say, in what we would call real time. God is omniscient. God doesn't learn like we learn. God doesn't find out information that he didn't already know, because we know very clearly that he knows everything. He knows the end from the beginning. He declares the end from the beginning. He knows the past, the present, the future. You may have some other thoughts. We're out of time, or I'd open it up and let you give some input, but you can give that to me later or talk to one another. Maybe this kind of raised some questions in your mind or some thoughts. And I didn't get very far. I got those other two. I didn't even get to the other two. And that's just, anyway, 8 years from now, when we finish this study on the omniscience of God, you might have read the Encyclopedia Britannica by then, all right? Okay, all right. Well, let's pray to our God who knows everything but wants us to come to him in prayer. Father, we thank you for your perfections. We thank you for the beauty of your attributes. We think of this attribute of your omniscience, that you know all things. Father, we just bow before you, thinking of that. It's beyond our understanding. Such knowledge is too wonderful for us, Lord. Father, we think about you speaking of Abraham. Lord, we think about our own lives. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our attitudes towards you. Father, we pray that our lives would show that. Father, that in some sense you might be able to say, because of the way we live, now I know that you fear me, that you love me, that you obey me. Father, may we be faithful. Thank you so much for your goodness and your grace, your patience with us, even as we learn about you, Father. May it spur our hearts on to worship, and Father, also to obedience. And we thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 May the Lord encourage you.